Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. Allison DeBall is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Allison is a good member of our Brain Trust, has been now for several years. She's the founder of DeBall & Associates, which is a marketing and public relations firm that helps companies large and small all over the country, halfway around the world, to put their best foot forward in the marketplace with their communication, with their ideas. She helps them frame their vision and execute on that vision. And she's here to talk to us about how you and I can do that same thing. Allison DeBall, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Great to be here again. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you back. What's on your mind today? What is the thing that you're seeing out there that is the most pressing issue for framing our brand messages?
Well, I'm looking at the overall economic recovery, and I see a couple of different factors. In the past four recessions, it's been small businesses, those under 500 people, that have really created a lot of growth, and that's what has pulled the country out of the doldrums.
Every time.
Exactly. And so right now it's a little trickier because statistics show that small businesses are having a tougher time right now getting credit that they may need for operational cash.
Well, and they're also, and I've been reporting on this, I've done this three times in the last week, different surveys, national and not so national. And their information is that they're not only having the issues with capitalization, but just being motivated to invest.
Well, that's exactly right. But apparently, some banking entities are really feeling scalded by what happened before with bad loans, and so they are making fewer loans. Period to small businesses.
Those are the larger. It's an interesting thing happening, Allison, because the larger banks are doing what you just said. The independent banks, the smaller banks, are not doing that so much. But every bank is tightening up their lending requirements. But one of the problems we have, which speaks to the second thing that I pointed out, one of the interesting issues is that the banks who are ready to lend to small businesses are telling me we don't have any small businesses, or I should say, small businesses are not coming to us requesting loans.
That's an interesting point, because I think a lot of small businesses may have tried earlier on in the game and really been rejected and don't see a reason to keep going back and getting
rejected. But we're all deleveraging, Allison. That's another thing.
That's exactly right.
As one of the interesting phenomena, that's one of the things that's holding this economy back is everybody's deleveraging. My God, Allison, major corporations have $1.7 trillion in cash on their balance sheets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're not spending money.
No, they're not. And they certainly could be, and that would give some juice to the recovery.
That would. That's exactly right. So what do we do with all this information?
Well, I completely agree with you that this is what's taking place in the economy. So I see two things happening right now that are really relevant to small businesses. One, if your business is slower, if the cash crunch is still affecting you, and some businesses it's not. I know plenty of small businesses that are growing organically at this point.
Right.
One, if your business is slower, use this time to really assess your systems and your operational activities so that you're ready to go at the time that the economy does recover. So, for example, look at your day-to-day processes to make your business more efficient. Start that right now. Look at your IT function. Is it really where it needs to be when you're bigger? Are people, processes, and technology as efficient as they need to be? Identify some quick-hit technology projects to increase productivity and quality, and look for a payback of 9 months or less.
So, you know. Speaking of that, we asked a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, we asked our audience in a poll that we take on our website, would you be more, as you take advantage of growth opportunities, would you be more likely to hire a new employee first or would you be more likely to automate through technology first?
Mm-hmm.
And 7 out of 10 said automate through technology first.
And do you think that that's actually what they would wind up doing?
Or yes, I do.
Does that seem like a good vision?
No, I think they would do it because they can. Because the incrementalization of technology, the democratization of technology, and the incrementalization of not only the applications but the pricing to make it more relevant, more fitting a small business's budget is real. It's happening right now, and they can. That's the reason they said that.
Well, that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that obviously doesn't mean they're not going to hire people down the road. They're just
no.
The
question was, what would be your first step if you could?
Sure,
would
absolutely.
You automate? And they said they'd automate first. Hold on to that thought. Allison DeBall is our guest, and she and I will be right back after these messages. It's 20 till the hour. Stay with us.
But like a fool, I went on, whether they're right or wrong, at least the mystery is gone. They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. Check out my blog, the articles, the Brain Trust members, the archives. Lots and lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. And don't forget to take my poll question, which we have on the homepage. There's a poll right there on the right side, the right column. And just answer the question to your liking. And when you click on when you submit your question, your answer, I should say, It's on the economy, too, by the way, the question this week. When you submit your answer, then you'll be able to instantaneously see how the poll's going so far and where you fit with all that. So check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Allison DeBall is with us, folks. She is the founder of DeBall & Associates. We're talking about the economy and what you can do to deal with the economy. Allison, you're seeing people out there. You've got some great case studies of what other people are doing out there to at least carve out their own recovery. If the economy's not going to recover, you and I both know companies that have carved out their own recovery.
Jim, you're entirely right. And I'm thinking of one of our clients. And just to be sure, our clients are in the small business sector. They're all 500 people or less. So this is really the group that we work with mm-hmm. on a very consistent basis. And we have one company that's been around for about 10 years, and they're a good, strong company. They've built a nice business, but they have achieved almost no brand recognition in their space. They've been very quiet. They're using this time to really step out and speak what they want people to know about so that when, as the economy continues to recover, they're the ones who people will say, right, I was hearing about them recently. And in fact, this happens to be a technology company. They, 2 months ago, launched their new signature product. And they did this at this time because they know that the market is less crowded and this is where they can get the most brand attention.
I was going to ask you about that because, see, one of the things I've been telling my audience about for a couple of years now, I've been saying, okay, folks, if you have survived 08, 09, if you've survived, congratulations. Give yourself a high five because that's no mean feat, number one. Number two, you look around and you see that a lot of people didn't survive, so that's fewer competitors. Number three, because of the credit issues that you and I talked about, Allison, earlier in the previous segment, that's restricting the number of startups that are out there because they don't have access to capital. So my point is, over the next 3 to 5 years, I think the existing companies that not only survived but obviously learned how to operate more efficiently, they know more about themselves, I think this next 3 to 5 years is going to be a great time, maybe a historic time for those companies. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right, Jim. But I think it really requires setting a foundation right now. And, of course, I run a communication firm. We do marketing and public relations. And so for us, setting that foundation is being able to very consistently tell people what you represent, what you do, and what their benefit is going to be.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and that's establishing your brand. Let me ask you a question. How much one of the things I'm working on right now is the concept of this being the age of the customer.
Okay.
And in fact, that's the title of my next book, the age of the customer. And so I want to ask you, as a marketing professional, how much are you seeing customers really taking control of your brand message, of your communication, of your reputation, and having more control over that than ever before. What do you think?
Jim, that's a very interesting question. And what I think is companies are responding much more significantly to what the customer is really asking for. And I see, we see a lot of companies, and we are working with companies, who adjust their positioning according to what customers are saying. So while customers certainly don't directly control anyone's messaging, I think companies are far more sensitive in assessing what the market will sustain and what the market is seeking, and they're addressing that.
And so let me ask you a question. When you're presented with a prospective client,
yes,
and they're not hitting on all cylinders, they're kind of floundering and they're feeling kind of weak. I'm going to make the prediction that what they're not doing, that they're not doing what you just said these other companies are doing.
That's right.
That they're not listening to their customers.
They're not. And you know, one thing that we hear a lot, and I was talking to someone yesterday who said that, who is, he's an investor, and he sees young companies all the time. He said they are really happy to talk about how fabulous they are and how great the product is and how terrific the people are.
He said,
I just want them to tell me what it's going to do for me.
Right.
I think there's much greater emphasis on customer satisfaction in that perspective. Nobody wants to hear you talk about yourself. Talk about them.
Well, exactly. And back to this brand, to your messaging, to your, you know, what you help your folks with, you know, it's natural. It's completely intuitive for us to think about telling people about what we do, but what we have to sell and how we plan to deliver it, that's just table stakes anymore, isn't it? That's just threshold stuff. That's not what makes people, it might be what makes them do business with you first time, but it's not what makes them come back.
No, you have to start highlighting your domain expertise. That's what it's all about, because there are a million companies in every industry. And so if you don't distinguish yourself with something, some nuance or some specific functionality that's very particular to you and that your clients need, then you're missing an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of saying perhaps that, you know, I don't say typically that I run a public relations firm, we talk about what we do for clients.
Right.
We help clients hit their business goals through communication. That's exactly what we do. And these are very simple steps that companies can really put in place right now if they haven't already. Obviously, there are more sophisticated programs that go behind these simple steps.
Right.
But I think this is a way to look forward for companies and say, how do I tell people what I'm going to get them?
Allison, give us the website, please.
www.dibollandassociates.com.
D-I-B-O-L-L and associates.com. Check it out. Quick break. Stay with us. 10 till. Right back with Allison.
Say I'll move to New York. Well, New York's fine, but it ain't dope.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Allison DeBall is with us. She is helping us put our best foot forward in a difficult time, making sure that if it's possible at all, that we have our own recovery. Heck with the national recovery, right, Allison? Let's just build our own recovery. And I'll tell you something, that's what small business owners are doing right now. I mean, there's a lot of things out there that are going bump in the night. But we can't, we got to blow by that. We can't deny reality. We don't have to get ourselves bogged down in the negative stuff either, though, do we?
Well, the thing is, for small businesses, no small business needs all of the market.
We don't have to conquer the world, do we?
No, we just need small slices of the market share that can work for us. And regardless of whether or not the overall market has shrunk, that's okay. There is still enough business to get us going.
Right. And maybe even your competition has shrunk.
I know that in my business, in my region, our competition absolutely has shrunk. And so we use marketing more than ever to tell compelling reasons why they should work with us.
Mm-hmm.
And marketing is the front end. But it's still the quality and the efficiency that we really support, and that's what sells the deal.
But the marketing message, doesn't the marketing message have to be less, and we talked about this earlier,
it's
got to be less about you and more about what you can do.
Sure, and I think that's a good lesson for life in general.
Exactly.
But for business right now, it's critical. end users have so many options, and a lot of companies have reduced prices or created greater offerings. So it's up to us to make it clear that they understand what the compelling reasons are that will persuade them to work with us, and then show them the truth, the efficiency, the quality that will draw them in and make them sign that contract.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What are some other things that you're seeing people doing out there, Allison?
You know, so one is changing their positioning, as we've just talked about. Two is actually making big, bold steps forward, like we talked about the company that just launched their signature product. We're also talking about companies that are hiring right now, and they are anticipating economic growth, and they're anticipating mm-hmm. development. So they're getting ready now.
And they're training. They're taking this time to train those people, aren't they?
They're identifying top talent. They're bringing them in.
It's a buyer's market, really, right now for buying talent, for hiring talent, isn't it?
It is.
Don't waste this opportunity, folks.
I
mean, you might have to make a little bit of an investment in anticipation of the economic recovery, you know, kind of kicking into high gear. But those people aren't going to be available when that happens.
No, they won't be, because there'll be more competition to hire them. But if you go ahead and get them now, bring them in, train them in the way you want them trained, you are poised for growth.
And you know what else, Allison? Don't be surprised that top talent would be willing to work for you, because they may be tired of working for big companies. And don't be surprised if they decide to stay with you.
That's exactly right, Jim. We have people here at our agency who have come out of huge global brand name firms, and they just got tired of working for big agencies, and they want to work with a smaller agency. In our case, they can choose the accounts they work with. They work with other senior leaders, and it's a much better fit for
them
at this point
of
their career.
It's more fun to work in a small business, I promise you.
It certainly is.
Isn't it?
That's certainly my perspective.
Yeah, well, that's the story I'm sticking to.
I own and run a small business. I think it's terrific.
I got 1 minute. What are some other things we need to be working on?
Well, I would also say, going back to an earlier point, take this time not only to hire and train the right people, but to review your operations and your systems. Is your IT up to par? Are your day-to-day systems as efficient as they need to be? Doing things like even looking at your email and deciding how y'all use email is effective. One simple trick is make sure you're changing, and everyone is changing, the headline of emails to reflect what you're actually writing about in that email.
Right.
Because if you have to go back and find it, you don't want to look through 20 emails with the same subject line. That's
exactly
a time waster.
That's a good suggestion. Good suggestion. I got time for one more.
Okay, let me talk fast. I would say continue to market. Make sure your positioning reflects what you can do for the company, and use marketing in a variety of disciplines, a variety of ways, telling the same messages to your audiences, so they're hearing it from left, right, and center.
What about being a thought leader? To me, I think this is something that people have an opportunity right now, is to establish themselves as a thought leader. What do you think?
I think that's a part of successful marketing, frankly. I think if you're marketing simply for awareness, you're missing the boat. Marketing for thought leadership is where you really cement your solidity in that space.
Position you and your firm as experts in your field.
Sure.
Yeah, don't hide your ladder under a bushel, right, Allison?
No, not at all.
DiBall and Associates, DiBOLL and Associates.com, right?
That's it.
Allison, great visit. Will you come back another day real soon?
I would love to join you again.
We'll see you then. Allison DiBall, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. I will be too, but not today. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.